larger 60-foot articulated bus, but the propulsion type is left open. We ask you to weigh in on that today and to amend the resolution to adopt the locally preferred alternative to specify the city's preference for battery electric buses. In its most recent National Air Toxics Assessment, the Environmental Protection Agency reported that Portland is the worst American city for respiratory distress from air pollution. While newer diesel buses emit far less pollution than earlier models, electric buses take it all the way. According to a 2016 analysis by the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Green Lining Institute, battery electric life cycle emissions of nitrogen oxides and particulate matter are lower than diesel. Global warming emissions, a key factor in reaching Portland's 2050 sustainability goals, are nearly 75% lower. Noise emissions, too, are significantly less, according to a 2007 study by Stiano Engineering. This is particularly important on a densely urban route like Division. Two North American manufacturers now offer battery electric buses in the size recommended for this project. And though the upfront cost is higher, lower fuel and maintenance costs actually make them a better deal than diesel over their lifespan. The lifespan of a bus is 12 years, by the way, so whether it's diesel or electric, the initial fleet purchase for this project will likely be on Division Street until the year 2033. The Portland Streetcar and MAX have set the bar for clean, electric, high-capacity transit. If bus rapid transit is the future of high-capacity transit in Portland, electric buses have to be part of it. Portland Clean Air urges you to amend the resolution to adopt the locally preferred alternative to specify a preference for battery electric buses. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Next three, please.
Arlene Kenora, Susan Pierce, and Rick Bartko.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Arlene, I think you get to go first, if you'd like to.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. Commissioner Novick, thank you very much for your amendment. I am cautiously supporting this project because of the amendments. Without those amendments, I do not feel that it meets the needs that we as the community members are doing our very best to provide services for the East Portland residents. In past, when the wording says that it's aspirational, well, unfortunately, the group that has paid for it has been our low-income bus riders, which we have a number of in East Portland. And I strongly urge that this MOU, in all of its iterations, which includes also consideration for non-diesel buses, be supported. Thank you very much.
Susan,
I'd
like to be next. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Susan Pierce, speaking as chair of Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood District Association, or HAND. I'd like to talk about Transportation System Plan Project Number 20185, or that bridge that we refer to as the Brooklyn Bridge, others refer to as the Gideon Bridge that was mentioned earlier. On behalf of the HAND board members and residents, I urge you to support the construction of a pedestrian and bicycle bridge across the UP Railroad and MAX tracks near the MAX Orange Line Clinton Station and the crossings at 11th, 12th, and Milwaukee Boulevard in the very near future. The project is currently at the end of the TSP list of projects with a 20-year expected timeline for completion. This is a matter of safety, zoning concept and reality, and ridership. And by the way, you're getting an emailed version of my comments. The bridge would replace a bridge that once crossed the UP railroad tracks at 16th Avenue, but was removed during the construction of the Orange Line. There were initial assurances that the bridge would be replaced, but that segment was put aside during the recalibration of the project when federal funding was going to be 50% instead of 60%. While the project was under budget at the completion of the Orange Line project, federal funding was removed before that bridge was replaced. The crossings at 11th, 12th, and Milwaukee are frequently blocked by four long periods by slow-moving freight trains, which, according to information provided by UP Railroad, are likely to increase in length and frequency, along with the passage of, also blocking it, are the passages of the MAX trains and that complex signal cycle for that complex intersection. Impatient bicyclists and pedestrians have been observed and documented on videos climbing through couplings between trains. Indeed, one of the elected officials in this room once videoed eight different, at one stop, at one event, eight different people climbing through in a 35-minute period. And then that only, it could have been more, but the battery died on his phone.
You're not saying one of the elected officials here climbed through the train?
He didn't climb through the train.
Okay, good.
He was videoing others climbing through the train. Tugged on my sleeve at news.
Please mention the gender, too.
A bridge for pedestrians and bicyclists would offer an alternative to this very dangerous and risky activity. Current and proposed zoning provides for increased density and limited parking for automobiles within a proscribed one-quarter-mile radius of a transit stop, including the Clinton Station, a very reasonable concept. However, all hand residential sites, subject to those zoning rules, are unable to access the site often because of the blockage of those trains. And so that belies that zoning concept. I'm going to skip ahead because we've noted that several times in letters to you and the Bureau of Sustainability. Hand residents from within and beyond the quarter mile are reporting that they are fearful of relying on Orange Line for transit after having found themselves stuck on one side of the trains and then missing important commitments. So potential ridership is therefore lost because people aren't even bothering to try.
Try to wrap up, Susan.
The original bridge was, so okay, you get my point. I do want to leap ahead to mention that hand, and I have a minute more. Hand.
For a minute already.
We're giving you extra time.
Hand opposes the BRT for a number of reasons. You're getting an email on this as well. But one very important reason is, again, those long backups. The question isn't whether they can get across at 8th Avenue. The question is whether they can even get to 8th Avenue. Backups, we're very familiar with them. Backups can be as far as our favorite corner, 3rd and Harrison, and as far as 20th and Division. That's a flaw. There are a few others, but for that reason, we originally applauded the improved benefits for East Portland, but think the money could better be spent elsewhere at this time.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. Two parts. The first part is
Put your name in the record again.
I'm sorry. Rick Bartko with Division Midway Alliance, board member and treasurer, and Mill Park resident. And I'm speaking more with my Mill Park resident hat. I want to just say how incredibly supportive the city has been, the NPIs, the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiatives, their mentors in PDC, Jade Apano, DMA, East Portland Action Plan. These folks have all come together to advocate for East Portland. Capacity building is going great guns. These folks are getting the community engaged in a way that I think is very exciting. And hats off to all those folks. Second part is a biblical verse, Proverbs 29:18, from the King James Version, where there is no vision, the people perish. And there's the second part of that, the corollary, but we won't go into that one. I've seen that in a public space. I've seen that in a county commissioner's chambers before. And just as a suggestion, a recommendation, maybe not this particular one, but perhaps here to provide a reminder to folks in the future how important it is that we have vision for not just some parts of the city, but all of the city, in a way that benefits all citizens with social justice and equity. Perhaps that's what the vision should be going forward, and we should be constantly reminded of that in some way. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, you have some more folks?
And we have Todd Struble.
All right, you may be the last. Any others? Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners. My name is Todd Struble, and I'm the J District NPI manager. I just wanted to echo and reiterate a lot of the things that we've heard and the values around the J District and the NPI program as a whole. We're really centered on preventing displacement and improving economic and health outcomes for the residents of our city. And this project has the potential to support that. We also know that it will bring those displacement pressures. We did want to say that there are lots of good things in the local action plan that we want to support. And we also want to appreciate the process and effort that city and project staff have gone through to work with community organizations and the leadership on the project, considering displacement and land use issues early in the process rather than after the project has already gone in. That being said, we're still going to hold project staff's feet to the fire on a lot of the issues that you heard about before, particularly with respect to the allocation of service hours of the four north and north-south routes. We're on 82nd, and we hear that same concern from our residents and neighbors that north-south is particularly difficult, even though there is a 72 that goes on 82nd. But I did want to go on record supporting the local action plan items related to housing and business mitigation and continue to work with project staff to ensure that our most vulnerable residents and businesses are protected from displacement. We've seen in other jurisdictions business mitigation plans work to support businesses. For example, Little Tokyo in the Los Angeles area has implemented programs like zero interest loans to support their businesses through construction. In that case, it was a light rail program. But there are funding mechanisms, and we have ideas that we're going to continue to work with project staff on to try and implement for the businesses in our neighborhoods. And then finally, I just want to reiterate the housing piece. Inclusionary zoning will, of course, impact coordination. And we're definitely going to go on record as supporting the CCC testimony, the Coalition of Communities of Color testimony that you'll likely hear tomorrow. So with that, I think everything else I've talked about or would talk about has already been said. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions. Thank you very much. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
So I know we had one question for Alan. Maybe there are others, but if you could come up and address the bus technology question.
Certainly. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, thank you. Alan Leto with TriMet, Director of Planning and Policy. On the bus technology, it is true that right now on kind of the sketch cost estimate we have that we're assuming articulated diesel buses. It is also true that that we have a real interest in the ability to potentially run electric buses on this line. We're not at the point where we feel like we could commit to that. There is essentially one manufacturer right now that you could buy an articulated electric bus from. I won't mention the name of it, but it's a relatively newcomer to the space and has only recently gotten its Buy America compliance. So we do hope that the other manufacturers who make buses will turn to articulated electric buses, and that, as you said, Mr. Mayor, we do have some more time to look at that as a possibility.
And I think the concern you're hearing from the community and from the council is that in a city with a climate action plan as aggressive as ours and just having been told that we have to move faster, not slower, or even at the same pace, to build another project and rely on diesel buses, I think would be a very unfortunate outcome.
And we'd invite any encouragement from the city on that point.
Can you address the reason why there isn't any north-south on 162nd and 148th?
Yeah, we have, I think you probably know, there's a lot of east-west service in that area. And that's, for historical reasons, that's always been the stronger demand and continues to be so, unfortunately, despite the need for some north-south service. And so we are now, of course, looking under the guidance of our service enhancement plan, which has a vision for including north-south service on both of those, looking at the opportunity. And certainly not have gone a little bit farther than I think you just heard in testimony, Part of the attachment that you should have is a memo from Neil talking about our commitment to, at the very least, reallocating the four division service to the corridor and putting at least one north-south service, on that as part of that proposed service.
I don't really understand why it's connected even to the division Powell rapid transit. It just
so each year, as I think you know, our payroll tax is slowly going up over the course of 10 years, a small increment each year. So we have a relatively small, unfortunately, amount of service that we can invest in different places each year. Right now, back in September, we just improved the 122nd North-South service. This coming period, we're looking at improving 182nd, 181st, which is just outside the city limits, of course. And so we would hope to be able to do 148th and or 162nd at some point before then. But it's a small increment each year. The difference is that in 2021, when and if this project opens, then instead of taking the four division hours and putting that into the project, we're saying, just as we did with Interstate Max, just as we did with the Orange Line, saying all of those hours stay in the community and get reoriented to new service. And that is so much more than we have available in any given year that it's a much greater opportunity to make really substantial improvements.
Equity sometimes requires taking resources from somewhere else and putting it where there isn't any. And so recently the 94 rapid transit to Barber Transit Center has been put on during the day, which is certainly very nice, but it's by no means full. I'd like you to look at what could you reduce, where could you reduce service in order to put it on those two streets? Because we know that there's a lot of low-income people there. The only grocery stores at Winco that really need this service way before 2021. So could you go away and look at it, please?
We certainly will, and we will look not only now but each year at that, because we get to make some improvements every year.
I don't think I've ever been asked as a transit rider to fill out a survey or even to give suggestions about where things maybe are too generous in terms of bus service if we need to do some sacrificing, but I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions for Alan or for VBOT staff? Thank you very much. If not, we may be ready to take action on the resolution. Let's do. Please vote.
No bid.
This has been an extraordinary project with an extraordinary level of community involvement, and I realize that it's been a difficult project and a contentious project for a lot of folks. I really appreciate people's willingness to work together and to work together beyond the point where they thought they were going to pull back from the project and to agree to continue working together based on commitments that we're making now. So I just want to thank the staff, I want to thank Councillor Stacy, I want to thank the folks from TriMet, I want to thank the folks from EPAP, from the Division Midway Alliance, I want to thank Leah Treat, I want to thank Andrea Valderrama, my office, who's worked on this. I want to thank April Bertelson, since I'm looking right at her, and I want to take this last opportunity to thank her for something. So really appreciate all the work. We know we have lots of work left to do. Aye.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for your dedication to the bureau that you were given 4 years ago. You've achieved so many great things. It's not even possible to list them all, but you've done it by continuing to address the issues that most need to be addressed. I was at the Oregon Walks fundraiser last Friday, along with several of the people in this room. Commissioner Novick got a standing ovation before and after his speech, and we certainly appreciate that you have devoted such an amount of your heart as well as effort and your teams. So thank you for all your work. Thank you, everybody who's here. We certainly need to have better service to East Portland, and I'm glad we're going to be able to work together on it. Thank you. Aye.
Bossman.
Well, I want to also thank Commissioner Novick for his leadership on this, and to the steering committee and Metro Councilors Stacy and Craddock for their leadership on this. This is really a great project, albeit a somewhat slimmed down vision, but it probably makes more sense. And I like how we've sort of adjusted some of the realities of this project to sort of some of the constraints we faced in the field in East and Southeast Portland in terms of making a system work. I think the smaller but articulated buses, hopefully Hopefully they will be electric. We can get that. I realize we don't want to rely on one vendor or one manufacturer, but I hope something, given all the concerns we have about diesel particulates, that other manufacturers will take heed. So thank you for this good work, and I look forward to this project being being funded. Aye.
Let me start with what may seem like a tangential reference, but it isn't, at least for me. A few weeks ago, we had the South Portland neighborhood here with some folks that were worried about the possibility that the city would jam the streetcar further south from the South Waterfront down into their neighborhood. And I was at some pains to reassure those folks that certainly now, if not usually, transit projects are going to get built where people want them. They're not going to get pushed into neighborhoods that don't want them, here in Portland especially. And frankly, I think now in the turmoil and confusion about what's happening to our national government, that statement is even more true. It has been the case that transit projects funded in part by the federal government have been a bipartisan commitment, that you go through this process that we're in now, you get to a project that's approved by the federal government, and they sign a contract called a full funding grant agreement that pays for half the capital costs. That's how we've built a lot of what we've built in this city. That's been the way that it's worked. And so a deal is a deal when you work with the federal government that way. But now we may be moving to the art of the deal instead of a deal is a deal. And it may be that cities that can put up a higher local match will outpace us. So all the more reason to come together and agree on what we do want and come together on a project that has community support, whether it's the technology that drives the buses, the routes, or where the stops are. So the better we get to yes here locally, the better chance we will have of having help beyond our own city to pay for this. And therefore, I'm really happy about the progress that this project has made. So I'm very happy to support this. And I believe that this is a good project that will happen. And, Steve, I want to echo my colleague's comments. Transportation is close to my heart. And I still wear the Choo Choo Charlie label proudly. And when I asked you to lead this bureau, I believe that you would be passionate and effective in leading this agenda. And this is one more sign that that's true. And this is one more legacy of good planning for a better future in our city. So thank you on behalf of this community and a lot of people who care a lot about transportation. Good luck, and I look forward to writing this. Aye. Thank you all very much. Okay. Take a breath, and we'll move on.
Hope we don't take too long.
Not much of a breath.
No.
Okay.
Just keep going.
We're going to take up the next item. So while people are sorting themselves out, would you read item 1368, please?
1368. Authorize a surtax to the city's business license tax for publicly traded companies to subject U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission disclosure and reporting requirements if a subject company reports that the ratio of compensation of its chief executive officer to median worker is equal to or greater than 100-1 under the commission's pay ratio disclosure rule.
Okay, Commissioner Novick, there's a few council questions I think that have been resolved. Is that right?
Believe so. And colleagues, I have to tell you, I am desperate to get this passed in the next 7 minutes. Because if we get past the next 7 minutes, we will meet East Coast media deadlines. And the whole point of this is to spark a national movement. The likelihood of a national movement goes up if we meet East Coast media deadlines. So although this is near my heart, I'm not going to say anything except aye. And I ask my colleagues to do the same.
All right, well, we got to call the question first. So unless there's any reason not to, we're going to take a roll call vote then, please.
Novick.
Aye.
I want to be very clear that when Commissioner Newick first told me about this, I was very interested. As he flushed it out, I got even more interested. So I have never traded votes on this council, and I never will. I solidly support this, have done for several months, and I think we should just do more of these things. Aye.
Elsman.
Well, with all due respect to Commissioner Novick for his idea, I've been on this council long enough to have experienced severe days when we had to step forward and help our school districts by imposing a surcharge on our business license fee to raise about $20 million a year in 2003. And I really believe that the headroom under the business income tax should be preserved for true unforeseen situations true emergency situations, which, given Oregon's revenue situation, given local government's revenue situations, are never too far around the corner, unfortunately. So with all due respect, I don't believe this is the right time and the right place and the right reason to increase the business income tax, and I vote no.
Hales.
Big problems of our time, climate, race relations, income inequality, are being addressed by cities. It probably should be a federal priority, and I hope someday it is. But right now, it falls to cities to do creative, progressive policymaking, and that's exactly what this is. Thank you, Commissioner Novick. Aye. All right, let's move on. We have 1369 is rescheduled, so you don't need to read that, correct?
I should read it.
Okay.
Real quick. Accept findings of the South Portal Partnership Plan Project pertaining to the proposed changes to roadway alignments of Southwest Bond Avenue, Southwest Moody Avenue, Southwest Hamilton Street, Southwest Hamilton Court, Southwest Lowell Street, and Southwest Thomas Street, and direct implementation of a plan to fund, design, and construct remaining South Waterfront Street connections.
Okay, without objection, this item is rescheduled to December 14th at 9:30 a.m. 1370.